Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Truth is a friend of the mind. Light is a friend of the eye. And death is a friend to all of those of us who are in Jesus Christ, because we know the old is being sapped away and the new is coming, and the new is filled with light and the love of God and promises to all of us who said yes to his proposal of marriage, eternity with him.
The truth is, death is a friend to those who know Jesus. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young concludes his message called Mount Calvary to teach that Christ's death and resurrection have turned your own death into a journey towards the light. So stay with us. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in just a moment. Before we get to today's message, we want to put a special resource in your hands to help you make God's Word part of your daily routine this year. The one-year chronological Bible is designed to help you read through the entire Bible in less than 15 minutes a day. We'll send you the one-year chronological Bible as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. And thank you for your help reaching more people in 2023 with the proven truth of God's Word. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. Now you can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is winningwalk. That's winningwalk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Mount Calvary, Part 2.
That's the mistake we make. God, I know what is best. Surely you know what this is best. The baby can't die. This prophecy. I mean, we think we know what is best. Let me tell you, they didn't know what was going on that hill. Notice all of those there on Calvary, they were saying the same thing. Save yourself. Three times. Save yourself. Save you. If you're God, save yourself. Prove that you're God. And if Jesus had come down from the cross, save the two thieves, they would all say, this is the Son of God. That's man's wisdom. But let me tell you a true statement that was spoken from the cross by the religious leader. Did you get what they said? They said, he, Jesus, saved others. Now he is on the cross. He can't save himself. Did you know they were exactly right? They were exactly right. Now, he could have called 10,000 angels and physically been saved and brought down for the cross. But you see, he couldn't save himself, because had he saved himself, there would not be a death and there would not be Easter. You see, big things were going on. They didn't get it. They didn't understand it. They didn't comprehend it. And they just said, boy, if you'll come down, we'll believe. You see, he couldn't have come down. He couldn't have saved himself, because he would have missed saving all the world. God's wisdom is greater than our wisdom, and so many times we miss that. That's the reason we can pray with great authority and assurance, Lord, I don't get it, I don't understand it, but thy will be done, because he's doing in his sovereignty supernatural eternal business. Easiest mistake to make, but the hardest confession to make, the hardest confession to make was also made by the second thief. He said what? What was his confession? He said, well, I'm getting what I deserve. This man on the center cross, he lived a perfect life. He's not getting what he deserved. And he rebuked The thief who rejected Jesus said, do you not fear God? In other words, do you not reverence God? This man is perfect. He's being executed. We are getting what we deserve. By the way, that's the hardest confession to make. I mean, I'm not getting what I deserve. Look how terrible this person is, and look what they're getting, and look what I'm getting. This thing doesn't seem fair. But that is a universal law in almost every religion on the face of the earth. Did you know that? The law of sowing and reaping. What you sow, that's what you reap. You sow beans, you don't get strawberries. Not going too fast for anybody, am I? You sow evil, you get evil. You sow good, you get good. That's a universal law. We read in a lot of the Middle Eastern faiths that you have, Hinduism. You say, what is karma? What is karma? Oh, they have karma. Basically, karma is many things, but karma primarily is this law, a natural law in the world. Good equals good, evil equals evil. It's a law of sowing and reaping. That's a big part of karma in Hinduism. In Islam, it's the same thing in the Quran. You sow and you reap. In Judaism, it's the same thing to the Jews, the Old Testament. That what you sow, that's what you also reap. And therefore, the thief on the middle cross, he got it. He said, look, we're getting what we deserve. But look at how he responded. He looked at Jesus and he said, remember me when you come in your kingdom. By the way, some of us who've been Christians for a while, we've got little formulas people have to say before they get to heaven. You know, if you don't pray this, receive this, repent from this, do this, respond to this, be baptized here, do all these things. That's what it takes to be. We've got all these things we expect to be in the formula for being a Christian and being in heaven. Look what was here. You talk about 11th hour conversion. This is 11th hour, 59 minute conversion. All that thief said, remember me. That's it. Remember me. That's it. You see, we forget God's going to work out all these contingencies, all these questions that we have. He just said, by faith, remember me when you come in your kingdom. He saw that Jesus had lived a perfect life. He heard him say, Father, forgive them, all these who had abused him and crucified him and cursed him and chained him. Because remember, when you were crucified, you were stripped naked. When you were crucified, they would take a lactor there and they would take a stick with leather on it with steel and glass and beat the skin. And he had been beaten up in his face and spat upon and chained and kicked and speared and thorns and all the rest. And he said, Father, forgive them? Man, this thief had never heard anything like that. Here's a man who lived a perfect life. And he said, I want you to remember me when you come to your kingdom. You see, the first thief said, save me. The second thief said, just remember me. Just remember me. How did Jesus respond? The cross of redemption. He said, today you'll be with me. And by the way, we can stop right there. Don't worry about paradise. We just want to be with God today, be with Christ today. That's enough. Don't need anything else. You're with God, you're with Christ today. Be with me today in paradise. All he said was, remember me. What a beautiful picture of redemption, of conversion. By the way, I see people off somewhere and they're wearing a cross, and I ask them, that's a nice cross. What does that cross mean to you? You ought to hear the answers I get. Most of them are non-answers. They really don't have a clue. Well, it's just a nice ornament. It's a sentiment. And, you know, I know something happened. It's amazing how we don't understand the message of Calvary. The message we received from that first thief who tried to manipulate and negotiate with the idea that he knew better than Jesus knew than God knew when God was doing a bigger work on that moment than he could ever understand at that moment. We do the same thing. Try and negotiate that which is non-negotiable. God is non-negotiable. We don't work him as a means to an end. God is the end. And then we see the second thief. He got it exactly right. He said, remember me when you come into your kingdom, because Jesus on that center cross redeemed us. Let me tell you what happened there. Jesus paid the debt, the price that you and I owe. Jesus paid the penalty that you and I deserve, and he gave us the reward that his life had revealed. What a deal. He gets the results of all the hypocrisy, the phoniness, the shabbiness in your life and my life. He pays the penalty for that, and we get all the perfection and joy in his life. Boy, that's a great transaction, isn't it? And by the way, when there is forgiveness, and this was an act of love, Jesus demonstrated by laying down his life on that cross. When we receive forgiveness, somebody always has to pay for it. Forgiveness always involves suffering. We need to understand that. Somebody might say, well, what kind of father is this? They let his son go through this horrendous, painful death. That's not a loving father. You see, but God had to turn his back on Jesus, remember? Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's so Jesus could take upon himself the full impact of the sin of the world. That's what was taking place on Calvary. That's exactly what was taking place. And if there is to be forgiveness that he provided for you and for me, so we have an entree to God, forgiveness always involves suffering. Let's just say, for a sake of illustration, here are two men that work in a business. One man is in transition with his family from one location to another. And this other man had saved money for a long, long time. And he was taking his trip on a vacation, his family on a vacation for 2 months. It was a trip of a lifetime. And the man, being gone for 2 months, said to his business associate, look, you need a place to live for a couple of months. Come and move in my house. Man, we've got two cars. You just make yourself at home. You live in my house. Use my cars. We're going to be gone. The man says, terrific. 2 months went by. The man came back home, looked at his house, and weeds were that high in the yard. A couple of front windows were broken. He went around the back, he looked in the garage, and both his cars were virtually devastated. Remember Demolition Derby? I mean, lights were out, windows were busted. I mean, they were just ruined. And he didn't know. When he went inside of his house, it was worse. The carpet was all stained. The refrigerator wasn't working. The stench was overwhelming. The toilets were stopped up. I mean, it looked like somebody just trashed over a period of time. All the furniture was cut and broke. It was just graffiti on the wall. The house was just ruined, devastated. He called his friend and said, what in the world happened? His friend says, well, I'm sorry about the damage. He said, well, how did it happen? He said, well, my family was there and it was summertime and, you know, we got all these kids. We just kind of let them do whatever they wanted to do. And said they invited their friends over and they had parties. My teenagers came over and, boy, they had party every night and said, you know, they sort of messed things up, didn't they? He said, yeah, a little bit. He said, what are you going to say to me? He said, well, I'm sorry. He said, is that all you have to say? Devastated my car, my house, and I haven't paid for either one? No, I'm sorry. He said, well, I'm real sorry. Got a couple of choices, right? He could try to get revenge from this man who had no thought of paying him back, of any kind of reconciliation. He could find revenge, go to their boss, say, man, this is how he did. He'd probably get fired. Or he could forgive him and pay the debt and get his cars fixed up or his house painted and put back in condition. He could forgive him. But forgiveness always involves paying. It always involves suffering to forgive. See, he took all of that upon himself. That is a simple way to say what Jesus did on the cross. And on the cross, Jesus died on the cross for your sin and my sin. He died on the cross so there can be Easter. So we can understand that death, because of the cross of Jesus Christ and because of Easter Sunday, death is not our enemy, death is our friend. So, well, I don't know about that one. It absolutely is. Death is our friend. Water is a friend to the throat. Food is a friend to the stomach. Music is a friend to the ear. Truth is a friend to the mind. And so we see that death is a friend to those of us who are in Jesus Christ. Do we understand that? Let me explain it in this way. We think that as we are growing older, and all of us are, and incidentally, all of us are terminal. Have you figured that out? Everybody here is terminal. So as we grow older and death is coming up from the rear, and we look back and say, boy, it's gaining on me. It's closer than it used to be. And we think of death as darkness, and we deteriorate, and this old body just gets weaker and weaker, and finally we go out into darkness, and we don't understand death is not darkness, but death is a descension into light. Because a true picture of death is not death is coming up behind us to eliminate this old body. The truth is, in Jesus Christ, our new body is coming toward us, and that new body is our permanent body that we will live in, and that new body comes and kills off this old body, and that new body is the only body capable of handling your soul and my soul forever. Remember what the soul is. I've said it over and over again. Your soul and my soul is everything that can't be measured. It's you. It's the real you. It's me. It's the real me. It's our spirit. It's our mind. It's our conscience. It's our will. It's our personality. It's our identity. And therefore, death is not, boy, death is closing in on us, coming in to lead us into darkness. No, death is in the future, and God is there, and our new body is coming, and our new body kills our old body, so our new body can inhabit our soul forever, and our old body could never do that. So death is a journey into light. We say you can't see God and live. Why? God is too bright. We can glance at him. And so death is not darkness, but death is light. Light. And therefore death reveals to us the face of God. And we say, death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is your victory? It is eliminated because of Jesus paid the price on Calvary's tree, and God raised him from the dead, and we too shall live forever with him in our new body with our soul intact forever. Let me tell you what. Listen carefully. God is proposing marriage to everybody here. God is asking you, everybody here, he's saying, come and marry me. And if we answer yes, we know a part of that proposal is, and by the way, let me give you the simplest definition of Christianity you can have. Is it God in Christ comes to you and to me as a lover, and he as a lover asks permission to impregnate you with his eternity. Say that again, don't miss it. God comes as your lover and my lover, asking permission to impregnate you with his eternity. And we answer, yes, we're married to God. And God, remember, we are all the bride and he is the bridegroom. That is a beautiful, perfect human picture of a eternal divine transaction that was consummated there on Calvary, but yet completed there at Easter. Let me show you exactly what the Bible says about it. Look at it in Revelation. Powerful, powerful phrase. Then I heard something like the sound of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, Hallelujah, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride, that's us, has made herself ready. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. Truth is a friend of the mind. Light is a friend of the eye. And death is a friend to all of those of us who are in Jesus Christ, because we know the old is being sapped away and the new is coming, and the new is filled with light and the love of God and promises to all of us who said yes to his proposal of marriage, eternity with him.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Dr. Ed Young joins me now to talk about today's message. Pastor, how can our listeners be more like the second thief, seeking after Christ for something as simple as remembrance?
It's amazing our minds are able to remember. It's amazing that you can go with your mind anywhere you've ever been, and you can go to places in your mind you've never been. And so, it's important that we remember. And the thief on the cross said, remember me this day when you come into your kingdom. And he was saved. He went into the kingdom with Jesus Christ that day. He died that day. He graduated from heaven that day. He received his resurrected body that day. So all we have to do is go to Jesus as that thief did. Lord, remember me. And then we move dramatically from an old life to a new life, from being on the cross that we perhaps put ourselves on, the pain and the suffering, to understand that he has been on the cross on your behalf. He's paid for all of that. He has been your substitute. He received the punishment from God that we deserve because God is holy, so that we would receive the blessing and the eternity we don't deserve, but was deserved by Jesus Christ. So there's an exchange life there. Lord, I give you my life. And Jesus says, Lord, I give you my life. Is that a terrific deal or what?
Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. And we hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word. And we'd love to help you stay grounded in that truth all year long with the one-year chronological Bible. There's no better way to prepare for what God wants to do in and through you this year than to spend time each day in His Word. The one-year chronological Bible will help you do just that as you grow deeper in your understanding of God's Word through 365 daily Bible readings that guide you through Scripture in chronological order. So call now to request the one-year chronological Bible as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Tune in tomorrow as Dr. Young talks about what's at the heart of true kingdom living.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world.